We've got two short readings this morning. Two short readings, Romans chapter 8 to begin with, a passage that we've referred to a couple of times already last week. Romans chapter 8 and beginning at verse 28, and then just over the page, Romans chapter 10, and we'll take it up our reading in verse 10. So to begin with, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, down to the end, and then Romans 10. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then over to chapter 10, and beginning at verse 10, down to 18. Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Amen, and may the Lord bless to each and every one of us the reading and hearing of his own precious word. In accordance with the eternal plan of God, and in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the Lord Jesus Christ atoned for sin by offering himself up as a sacrifice to satisfy God's anger with our sin. And so it is that he reconciled us to God. So Christ purchased, Christ paid for our redemption. And he did so by his own blood, by giving his life. Christ has accomplished our salvation. We began last week to examine how then is this salvation applied to a sinner. How does someone come to partake of all the benefits and all the blessings of what Christ has purchased, of this redemption? Why is it that one sinner believes in Jesus Christ and another sinner does not believe in Jesus Christ? The scriptures teach us that behind a sinner's faith in Christ, there is the saving work of God. The scriptures say, Psalm 3, verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If it is to become ours, it is a gift. It's a gift. God has not only accomplished salvation through his Son, he is also the one who applies salvation to a sinner. So it is Christ who has accomplished our salvation, but it is also Christ who applies that salvation to sinners like ourselves. The scriptures show that this application of salvation isn't one simple act. Rather, as we thought last week, it's a series of events, a series of processes, steps or stages which follow a definite order, a logical order. And some refer to this order as the order of salvation. Others might refer to it as the way of salvation. And last week we referred, I think on both occasions, both sermons, to Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 to 30, where Paul gives us a highlights list in this order of salvation. Last week we looked at the first two stages, the first two events in Paul's list, and both of those events took place in eternity past. Eternity past. God's foreknowledge and God's predestination. Predestination with its two aspects, aspects of election and reprobation. God foreknew. And the significance of that word is that God foreloved. He foreloved his people, Israel. And God foreknew, he foreloved his new covenant people, all who come to put their trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. And those he foreknew, he predestined, elected, he chose them, even, as Paul says, even before the foundation of the world. It's a biblical truth that gives us reason to praise our God and to thank him. It's also a truth to give us great comfort. It's just beyond us, isn't it? From eternity past, he knew Tom, Dick, and Harry. From eternity past, with God's foreknowledge, predestination, right up to eternity future, glorification. And God is working out all things together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. From eternity past to eternity future. In election, God chooses some to be saved. In reprobation, God chooses to pass over others. The cause of election and salvation doesn't lie in anything to do with us. It lies in God. Whereas the cause of reprobation and condemnation lies totally with the sinner. Salvation is wholly due to God's grace alone. Foreknowledge, predestination, that's where salvation begins. In eternity, before the foundation of the world. The next stages, the next events in the order of salvation, they occur in this life, in this lifetime of an individual sinner. So now we come into this time, not eternity past, but this time. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And as Paul goes on to say, Romans 8, and those whom he predestined, he also called. This is the next stage or event that we want to look at called. Here now is the actual outworking of God's purpose in our lives. He called. Romans 8:30. When Paul says, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Paul indicates there that this call, it's an act of God. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined, those are the ones that he called. It's an act of God. He called. And this powerful act of God is referred to, and if you want to get your mom or dad to help you to spell these words, this act of God is referred to as God's effectual act, or his effectual calling. Or if you want a simpler word, it's his inward calling, his inner calling. And it's effectual because it's effective. It's a call of God that produces a result. We're going to look at that, the effectual calling, in just a moment. We first of all want to look at another aspect of this calling, and that is the universal calling. The universal calling, or the outward calling. So the effectual call is an inward call. The universal call is an outward call. That is the preaching of the gospel to everyone, to all. Universal and effectual calling, they're essentially one. They're one thing. Yet we need to carefully distinguish between the two of them. First of all, looking at universal calling, it's also referred to as an external calling, an outward calling, or a general calling. It's a call that comes to all through God's revelation. God's revelation to everyone, everywhere. Effectual calling, it's referred to as internal or inward calling. It normally takes place in conjunction with this universal outward presentation of the gospel to all. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, Paul says to the Thessalonian believers, he called you. Well, how did he call you? How are we called by God? He called you through our gospel. That's how he calls. That's how God calls you to come to him. He calls you through the gospel, calls you through the preaching and sharing of the gospel. Now, this is the normal way, the normal way. We thank God for those who wrote our confession. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 10 and section 3, in the list of questions that I've sent out, I've put this as a supplementary question at the end, because it could go on and on. So if you've got any time left at the end of your the midweek and you want to look at this, read the Westminster Confession, chapter 10. But I just want to highlight this one particular section in chapter 10. As I say, this is the normal way of God calling through the presentation of the gospel. But chapter 10 and section 3 also states, elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Spirit, who works when, where, and how he pleases. So also are all other elect persons who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the word. So this is the usual way of God working through the presentation of the gospel, the call that comes through the gospel. But as our confession states, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And he's not restricted. He's not tied down. Elect infants, dying in infancy, those who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the word, there are those who are among God's elect. Moving on. In the order of salvation, the event of calling those he called, when Paul says those he called, refers to the effectual, the effective application of Christ's redemption to an individual. It's an effectual calling. But that effectual calling comes within the universal call that goes out to all. So the effectual calling comes along with the universal call to everyone. So in this sense, the universal call is not one of the stages. It's not one of the stages. It goes out to all, but it's only effective if it becomes the effectual call to an individual, and that individual responds to that call. If that call isn't accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit to make it an effectual internal inward call, then it is literally like water off a duck's back. It's like water off a duck's back. We could preach here every week, every day, every hour, and unless there's that effectual call, it's only a universal call. There's no response. It's not effective. It's like water off a duck's back. A person remains unchanged and unmoved by the gospel, by that call of God. The other stages or events in the order of salvation only belong to the elect. Justified, adopted, sanctified, glorified. Only these things belong to those who are predestined, who are chosen, the elect. But the universal call comes to everyone, both to those who are predestined, to the elect, but also to the reprobate, both alike, the chosen, the elect, and the reprobate hear this universal call. And it reveals the great love of God to sinners in general, but it brings the elect to faith and repentance when that outward universal call becomes an inward call. And that is one of the stages in this order of salvation. So not the universal call, but the effectual call. This universal call, how does it come to us? Well, first of all, it comes through God's general revelation. Through God's general revelation. That is, God's universal call comes through things rather than words. It comes to us through things rather than words. God reveals himself to us in his creation. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. The heavens declare his glory. The heavens, his creation, speak to us of God, speak to us of his glory. He speaks to us through history, through his dealings with creation, through life experiences. This call comes to us through his law, through his word, his law written on our hearts. In Acts 17 and verses 26 to 27, Paul preaching on Mars Hill, he says, "The God who made the world, the God who made the world, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us." There is evidence of God in the world. The world is speaking to us about him. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. What can be known about God is plain. What can be known about God, it's plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that are made, so they are without excuse. This universal proclamation of God leaves every one of us without excuse. Paul goes on in Romans 2, 14 to 16, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law, why are they living different? Why are they seeking to be moral, upright people? They show that the work of law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So creation, nature, reveals God. His law is written in our hearts. It's a revelation of God. But these things, creation, nature, these things do not tell us about salvation. But salvation is revealed in his special revelation, the special revelation of God's word. Through the gospel, the preaching of the good news, God invites sinners to accept salvation that he offers to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are invited, that is, we are called. It's a universal, an outward, external call to all to come unto him. Now, Scripture doesn't actually use these words, universal calling or effectual calling, external calling, but the Scriptures do speak to us of such a call that is outward, and a call that is not inward. It's a universal call. It's outward and it's not inward. It's apparent in the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Go out and tell it to all. Tell it to all men, all women, all young people. Repent and believe. Whoever believes, whoever does not believe. So it's the universal call that goes out to all, but it's only effectual in some. The whole creation is called, but not all respond. Matthew 22, verses 2 to 14, and we have the parable of the wedding feast. Many, says Jesus, many are invited, but not all went to the feast. Jesus said, verse 14, Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Verses like John 3:36, Acts 13, verse 46, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, all of these verses speak of those who are called and they're invited, but they reject the gospel. They reject the gospel. The universal call presents and offers salvation in Christ to sinners in order that they might obtain forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Many are called, and many say, we don't want it. Few are chosen. Few foreknown, predestined, called. It isn't restricted to certain people. It's to every nation, it's to all classes, and it's to every age. Doesn't matter what age you are, young or old. Isaiah 45, just a few verses. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's no other. So turn to me. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Revelation 22, verse 17. Come, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. It doesn't cost you one thing. It's no cost to you. It's only at cost to God. Come. This call, this invitation, it isn't made to only those who will listen. It isn't only made to those who are the elect Psalm 81, verses 11 and 13. My people, those who call me their God, my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. Verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Those who call themselves believers, and they won't listen to God. Proverbs 1, verses 24 to 26. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Verse 28, then they will call upon me. When they're in trouble, they'll call out. But I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel, despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. They listen. They hear the call and they respond. When God calls the sinner to accept Christ by faith, it's something that he earnestly desires. When he promises that those who repent and believe will receive eternal life, his promise is trustworthy. But his offer is conditional. And the condition is repent and believe. Repent and believe. So why does God call all to come to him, even those who are reprobate? As our Creator and as our sovereign ruler, God is entitled to the service and the obedience of all he has created, of all men. The call is God's appointed means to bring sinners to conversion, the means by which he gathers in the elect from all the corners of the earth and all the nations of the earth. It's to be a universal call. We are to make that universal call because he knows who are his. We don't know who are his. And so the call, the message of the gospel is to go out to all. We don't know who the elect are. But the elect, the chosen, the predestined, will be those who receive it and accept Christ by faith. The universal call reminds us of God's holiness, his goodness, and his compassion. He warns all against self-destruction. It shows the responsibility of the sinner. And to reject God's offer is to increase our guilt and judgment. The universal call, it's external, it's outward, it's to all, it's both to the elect and to the reprobate. It comes through his general revelation, through creation, through nature. It comes through his law written on our hearts, through things. But it is through his special revelation in particular, that through the word of God, the gospel of Christ, that this call comes to us. John Calvin said that the gospel call is not in itself effective. Just because someone preaches the gospel doesn't mean that it's going to be effectual, that people are just going to come in their droves responding. The gospel call, says Calvin, is not in itself effective. It is made efficacious, that is, it's made effectual by the operation of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Holy Spirit, savingly applies the word to the heart of man, and it is so applied only to the hearts and lives of the elect. Those he foreknew, he predestined. He called. So salvation, as I hope you see, our salvation is the work of God from the very beginning and right through. God by his saving grace enables and causes men and women to heed the gospel call to salvation. Which brings us to our next point. Universal calling. Secondly, effectual calling. Effectual calling. It's the inward calling. The universal call is going out to all. The effectual calling, it's inward, something internal. This is a work of God. This calling, effectual calling, is a work of God. It's a work of God the Father. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called. God is faithful, by whom you were called, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this call is a work of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 12, we exhorted each other of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And 1 Peter 5 verse 10, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. So this calling, it is a work of God. But it doesn't end there. God the Father works all things through his Son. So this calling is also ascribed to him in the scriptures. Matthew 11 verse 28. It's him that says, come unto me. He is doing the calling. Come unto me. Luke 5 verse 32. I've not come to call the righteous. They're only interested in themselves and in what they're doing. I mean, I haven't come to call the righteous. They think that they're okay. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. John 7, verse 37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So the Father calls, and he calls through his Son, Jesus Christ. And not only that, Christ calls through his word and the Holy Spirit. John 15, verse 26, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So this call is a work of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The inward call is an act of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And the scriptures show us what this calling is. What is this calling? What comes about as a result of this calling? It's a call out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Out of darkness and into fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called. Called to what? Called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Into fellowship, not only that, into his kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 12. Walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And 1 Peter 5 verse 10. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. It's not just, come unto me and I believe and that's it. This truth is so full. It is jam-packed full, this calling. It is so significant for us in so many ways. A call out of darkness, a call into fellowship of Jesus Christ, a call into the kingdom of God, a call into the eternal glory in Christ. The scriptures are just overflowing with the blessings of this calling. This calling, it's just not something simple that goes out there. This calling doesn't come to us empty-handed. This calling has pockets full, or as it was put in the scriptures, it's brimming over, it's bursting out. Those who've been called by God belong to Jesus Christ. Romans 1 verse 16. You who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Romans 1 verse 7. Who are loved by God and called to be saints. Who are called to be saints, to be a holy people, His special people, called to peace. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 15. God has called you. He's called you to peace. Peace is to rule in our hearts. You say, things are just crushing me. They're overwhelming me. There's so many things going on. This is going wrong. That's happening. I'm all over the place. We have been called to peace. Peace with God. Peace within ourselves. Peace with other people. Colossians 3 verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Well, how can we do that? That is what we're called. It's part of our calling. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. We're also called to freedom, to hope, to holiness, to patient endurance of suffering, to eternal life. Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brothers. Ephesians 1:18 and Ephesians 4:4, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Open our eyes, Lord, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? 4:4, you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. And 1 Peter 2 verses 20 to 21, if when you do good and suffer for it you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God, for to this you have been called. We have been called to endure, to be patient in times of difficulty and trouble. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. Endurance and patience in suffering. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. Blessings, benefits, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Called into the fellowship of Jesus, into the kingdom of God, into eternal glory. Called to belong to Jesus, called to peace, to freedom, to hope, to holiness, to patient endurance in times of suffering, called to eternal life. This is no ordinary call. It's the call of the King of the universe. He gives good gifts to men, and one of these blessed gifts that He gives to us is His calling. It's a call of such power that produces a response in the heart of those who hear this call. And that's why it's effective. That's why it's effectual. That's why it produces a response. Because Romans 8, verse 29 and 30, those whom He foreknew, He predestined. He called and He justified. The call produces a result. This call draws a sinner out of the kingdom of darkness and into God's kingdom of light and into fellowship with Him. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. God is faithful. He is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is an act of God. An act of God, an effectual calling. An inward, internal call of God through the preaching of the word to a sinner that will produce a response and a positive result. It's a universal call, a general call through preaching to all. Some reject it. Those who respond, God has made it effective in them and produces this result. Call that comes through the preaching of the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This call of God through the gospel is made effectual by the work of His Holy Spirit, so that the sinner responds to God's call. They respond by repentance and faith. It's conditional And the conditions are the response that is required, repentance and faith. A sinner turns from their sin and turns to Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. And unless God works in a person's heart, there will be no response, there will be no repentance, there will be no faith. Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, no one can come unto me unless what? No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And that's why we have such hope, because people that we think are beyond the pale, that they're so darkened in their hearts, they're so immoral, so wicked in what they're doing, even then, the universal call goes out to all. The effectual call is a work of God, the power of God at work through his word to change anyone he desires. We see an example of this response to the preaching of Paul in Acts 16 and verse 14. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. She was a worshipper of God. She believed that there was one God. She was a worshipper of God, but she wasn't converted. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. It is the Lord opening hearts for them to pay attention. Otherwise, it's in one ear and out the other. It's water off a duck's back. One writer says the gospel call is a general, external, and often rejected call, while the effectual call is particular, it's internal, it's inward, and it's always effective. Gospel preaching and witnessing is the means that God has appointed through which effectual calling will come. As Paul says in Romans 10, verse 14, passage that we read from earlier, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? It's through the preaching of the word. The universal call goes out to all. The effectual call is applied to some by the work of God's Holy Spirit, and it's through the preaching of his word. So finally, thirdly, and very briefly to close, the message of the call. The message of the call. It's so simple. It is so simple. If a person is invited to come to Jesus in order to be saved, they must first have some understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done to save sinners. Sinners must realize that all people have sinned, and that the penalty for sin is death. That's what we deserve because of our sin. And that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty due for our sins. And God invites sinners to respond to Jesus and what Jesus has done as the Savior of the world, to respond in repentance and faith. There must be a personal response. The Apostle John shows us that there's only two possible responses. There's only two ways: rejection or acceptance. Either you reject it or you accept it. John 1, verses 11 and 12. He came to his own people, and they didn't receive him. They weren't interested. They didn't want to know. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So here are two groups: those who reject him and those who accept him. Coming to Christ and trusting him to save us from our sins means turning away from our sin, turning away from a life of sin, that is repentance, turning from sin and turning to Christ in faith to save us from our sins and from the consequences of our sins, that is the judgment and death, eternal death. Coming to Jesus, he promises to forgive. Acts 3:19, repent, Turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Turn around and turn to Christ, and all your sins will be blotted out. And he promises eternal life. John 3:16, whoever believes in him will not perish, shall not perish, but have eternal life. God calls on us all today to come to him. To come to him. The question is, do you hear that inward call of God through his Son, by the Spirit of God in his Word? We've thought of one scripture after another today. Has God spoken to you by any of those scriptures? He's calling you today. He's calling you to hear him and to listen to him. May he have mercy upon you as he has had mercy on so many of us already. Amen. As we remain seated, let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do not fully realize. We have but scratched the surface of what it means for us to belong to Jesus Christ. Father, fill us by the help of your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your word, your truth, your promises, all that it means to us who belong to you, who belong to Christ, what it means to be foreknown, to be chosen, to be called. Fill our hearts, fill our minds with the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we pray for our loved ones, those even seated here today, those listening online who as yet are strangers to Christ, are outside of Christ. We pray that the universal call that goes out to all would be made effectual, effective, and produce results in their hearts, in their lives, bringing them to repentance and faith in our Savior. Have mercy upon them, O God. Our benediction, we close with the words of Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I have called you by name. Written, your name written in the book of life. I've called you by name. You are mine. Called. An unbreakable link in an unbreakable chain of God's salvation. Amen.